Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, if you missed the program, if you can't listen live one day with whatever outstanding, wonderful affiliate carries us, you can get the show on the podcast version on the free Odyssey app. You can also listen to us live there if you're away from your radio station you listen to that has us on the air. Again, the free Odyssey app, we tweet it out every day, odyssey.com. It is awesome, and it is free. Like the phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. I'll get into this later in the show. Kentucky has a job opening because Cal, when he's not walking his dog, if you didn't see this, amazing, is going to Arkansas, reportedly, looking for a house, and he'll be getting paid there. And the betting favorite to be the Kentucky coach is Scott Drew, who is a friend. I'm a huge Scott Drew guy, and I've spent a lot of time at Baylor in Waco with him and his program over the years. So I'll give you some insight into Scott and why he would be, if he wants to do that job, a great, great fit. We'll do that toward the end of the show. It also gets into the question of, these days, how good are those jobs of massive expectations if you already have a job where you can, or in Scott Drew's case, have won a national championship? Baylor won a few years ago. And every year, just about, they're in the mix. So we'll do that later in the program. We've got a great buy or sell coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes with Tom. And again, if you want to call us, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We're going to get John Rothstein here in about 60 seconds, and we'll talk, like we did at the start of the show, not just UConn's, what a run, by the way. And I want to give him all the credit in the world. Even if I was personally, I watched both games. I watched both tournaments. I just found the women's tournament more captivating. And by the way, so did most of you, based on the 18.7 million people on average who watched the Women's National Championship game. South Carolina beating Caitlin Clark and her Iowa Hawkeyes. But what a run by UConn. What a dominant two-year stretch. And the stat that jumps out to me, which I told you earlier in the show, that came to us from Pat Forte. Was he French, Bill? Pat Forte is... over that run, over that stretch, over those two championship successful runs in 12 games, UConn was down in the second half just for 53 total seconds. And so to dive into that, to reflect on South Carolina's victory and Caitlin Clark's legacy, to talk about the Kentucky job, we're going to go to the best in the business, John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider and Guru, the host of College Hoops Today. It's a podcast you get wherever you download your podcasts, and you can follow John on Twitter or whatever you want to call it. You can call it X. It's fine. Either way, it's at John Rothstein. John, I know it's busy, man. Good morning. Thanks for making time.
Always for you, Bill. Great to be with you, buddy.
So, all right, I was trying to put into context how dominant this UConn team has been this year and last year and just what they've accomplished in the last 25 years. You're going to be much more equipped for this than I am. How do you properly frame UConn's run under Dan Hurley and just its emergence as a power in the last couple decades or so?
Well, let's look at it this way. You know, Jim Calhoun has done, I think, arguably the greatest building job in college basketball history in terms of taking a program where there was no history and making it into a power. The guy went to four Final Fours, won three national titles, won 17 Big East regular season and tournament titles. But only this year, for the first time, did UConn go back-to-back and win national championships. Only this year, for the first time, did UConn go to the Final Four in back-to-back seasons. And let's break down, Bill, these runs, okay, that UConn had under Calhoun. In 99, there was a close game in the regional final against Gonzaga, and they only won by three in a national championship game against, you know, one of the great Duke teams that we've seen, and that was Calhoun's first national title. In 2004, and Coach Calhoun told me this last Sunday when I spoke to him, it was the most talented team at UConn because you had Ben Gordon and also Emeka Okafor on that team, the second and third picks in the draft. But that team, if you remember, had to come from behind and beat Duke in the Final Four to get to the national championship game. In 2011, with Kemba Walker, UConn won several close games to win a national championship. And then when Kevin Ollie won a national title in 2014, UConn was a 7 seed, and Shabazz Napier willed them game after game to the national championship. But if you remember, in that run in 2014, this is an interesting story that a lot of people forget. Amita Brima, UConn starting center, was a free throw shooter that shot less than 50% from the free throw line. In the first round against St. Joe's, UConn's down three. He gets an and one with about 40 seconds left, makes the free throw. The rest is history. But so many games in that run were really, really close. Last year, Dan Hurley wins 6 games by an average of 20 points per game. This year's team wins 6 games by an average of 23.3 points per game. So what Dan Hurley is doing right now is a level of dominance that UConn has not known in its rich and storied basketball history. In the last 25 NCAA tournaments, UConn has won 6 national championships. Bill, where I come from, that's better than 20%.
It is John Rothstein on the show. It's an amazing – you're right. Calhoun, what Calhoun built and Hurley is continuing. It is remarkable. I know it's harder to gauge sometimes in the NIL and transfer portal reality, but how well poised is UConn to continue to dominate and to try to go for a three-peat or to try to win a couple more even the next 10 years and keep adding to what is a pretty remarkable legacy right now?
Well, they got the premier coach at 51 years of age who has won 2 national championships. Obviously, UConn has some recruiting work to do here in the transfer portal. I just released, you know, on social media at 10 a.m. Eastern, my first Rothstein 45 for the 24-25 season. And obviously, I'm going to be updating this daily with player movement and so on and so forth. I've got UConn in the 12th spot right now, and that's losing Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, Donovan Klingon, and Steph Castle. I would expect UConn's going to be in play for 2 to 3 high-level transfers. And if that comes to fruition, I expect UConn to be in position to, again, be a force and be the team to beat in the Big East, you know, under Dan Hurley. And that's the thing right now, Bill, is, you know, for so many years when I started doing this, and I'm doing it now, you know, almost 2 decades, the 2 elite programs were Duke and UConn. Those were the linchpins of college basketball, and things have changed a little bit, but we have right now a dynasty in the making once again in Storrs, Connecticut, which is clearly the basketball capital of the world. And it's one thing, like I said, to win a national championship. It's one thing to go back to back. But if you look at the last 2 teams that went back to back, look at their chemical makeup. When Hurley, Leitner, and Grant Hill were a part of back to back national championships at Duke in the early 90s, those guys had the nucleus together for 2 years. Florida, if you think about it, in 06 and 07, had five starters returning from the team the first year in 06 that won the whole thing with a 73-57 win over UCLA in the 2006 title game. And that team obviously came back to beat Ohio State and Greg Oden in 2007. This UConn team lost Jordan Hawkins. This UConn team lost Adama Sanogo. This UConn team lost Andre Jackson. Only two starters came back, but the Huskies were more dominant. Bill, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball.
John Rothstein on the show, breaking it down. John, you said just a little bit ago, eye-popping in a different context. It was eye-popping to me, Purdue just one of seven from three last night. Was that, did that have more to do with something UConn did or something Purdue did not do?
Look, as soon as the matchup was set Saturday night, I said to myself, the five men could cancel each other out in this game, but UConn is bigger, stronger, more athletic, one through four. And that's really the story of the game. Braden Smith and Fletcher Royer had great years for Purdue. They're obviously going to have a great, you know, 2 years ahead for the Boilers in the Big Ten. But Newton, Spencer, Castle, too much defensively. They took away the three-point line. I thought it was a genius game plan from Dan Hurley last night in Phoenix.
So, John, obviously bringing in Hurley, in retrospect, a masterstroke. These decisions are really significant. And we've got Cal leaving Kentucky reportedly for Arkansas. Let's start there. What, with some time to process it and talk to folks, what do you make of Calipari leaving for Northwest Arkansas?
Well, I just want to add some context here, Bill, as we talk this out, because obviously I just got off the plane and I made a couple of calls. This is the deal. Arkansas is expecting to hold a press conference tomorrow for John Calipari to announce him as head coach, but Arkansas has still not gotten the affirmation of a signed agreement, and Kentucky has not been informed that John Calipari is resigning. Now, everything I've gathered, it's still obviously trending in that direction. But again, I know that we're not there quite yet in terms of a press release coming, so I just want to add that right now as just, you know, a wrinkle here as of Tuesday morning. I haven't heard anything yet that he's going to stay at Kentucky or anything of that nature, but I'm just saying as we're tracking this in real time, that is something that came across my desk as I just landed here off the red eye. Now, was I surprised? Look, anytime you are in a scenario where you are at a place as long as John Calipari is, in terms of the fishbowl that it is in Lexington at Kentucky, if you do not constantly perform at the highest of levels, there is going to be an appetite for change. And look, I went through this on several different platforms, and you're my guy, so I want to go through it with you. Kentucky in 2015 was 38-0. Kentucky had a chance to go down as one of the best teams in the history of the sport, and it lost that game to Wisconsin in the Final Four. Think back then to 2016. Kentucky with Jamal Murray loses to Tom Crean in Indiana in the round of 32. No problem. That's a heck of a basketball team. 2017, you've got De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo. You go to the regional finals and you play a great game against Luke May in North Carolina, and the Tar Heels win with a second left shot by Luke May. Then all of a sudden, you think about the next year. What happened? Kentucky plays Kansas State in the Sweet 16. Dean Wade did not play in that game for the Wildcats, but Kansas State was able to win a narrow game against the Kentucky nucleus that featured Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, P.J. Washington, Nick Richards, Quade Green, Hamidou Diallo, Wenyen Gabriel, and of course, we can't forget him, another player that we have to remember in sorry, I only speak for a living. Another player that we have to remember up front in Kevin Knox. So that happened in 2018. Then in 2019, you know, Kentucky had a team where it took Reed Travis from Stanford as a transfer, and it was a favorite to go to the Final Four. Auburn that year, we have to remember, beat North Carolina, the one seed, and Auburn lost Chuma Okeke to a torn ACL in the Sweet 16 that year, but managed to come back and beat Kentucky in overtime in 2019. Then in 2020, when Kentucky had, I thought, the best backcourt in the sport, with Emmanuel Quickley, with Ashton Hagens, with Tyrese Maxey, Kentucky was 25-6 playing great basketball going into the NCAA tournament, and the COVID pandemic knocked out the NCAA tournament. So 2017, you lose in the Elite Eight. 2018, you have a loss to Kansas State that you probably would like to have back. And if you win that game, you're playing Loyola Chicago to go to the Final Four. 2019, you lose to Auburn in overtime. And 2020, you're 25-6. And, Bill, there's no NCAA tournament. So that's four opportunities to get back to a Final Four, and you don't cash in. Now we fast forward. The COVID year, Kentucky won single-digit games. Was a disaster. 2022, you bounce back with Oscar Tshiebwe, but you lose to St. Peter's. 2023, good year, not a great team, lose to Kansas State in a round of 32. And this past year, you lose to Oakland. So I think the loss to Wisconsin triggered really a downward trajectory for Kentucky. But I want to point out, from 2017 to 2020, John Calipari had Kentucky right in position to go to the Final Four every year, and they've got a couple of bad bounces.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. And I was at that Kentucky Indiana game and at that Kentucky, the first one, K State game. And it's interesting because at every one of those stops, it still then felt like a dominant Kentucky program despite the outcome. Let's say that he leaves. And I guess if you're Arkansas, John, the memories and the ghosts of Dana Altman, I mean, it won't feel over till it's over, and maybe he even stays 24 hours after he does his press conference. But let's say that Cal goes to Arkansas. Is Scott Drew the guy who I like and know that gets them back to the promised land? Or is there another coach who... Who's the right hire, or who are the right names if you can get someone that's realistic and you're Kentucky and you want to get to a spot where you're winning those games, getting to those Final Fours and being, at least from their vantage point, where you feel like you belong, which is the top of the sport?
Well, Bill, I've been covering searches for a long time, and you know things usually work out really swiftly and really well, where they drag out and they get off the rails. So far, and again, we have not seen Arkansas officially announce John Calipari as its head coach yet, but so far, this is what we have seen. Nate Oates has put out a public statement that he is obviously staying in Alabama. Jay Wright has said on national television that he's more than happy staying with us at CBS, and he should, because he's, you know, an outstanding ex-coach and an outstanding analyst and a great guy. We have also seen Dan Hurley come out and say that, you know, he is obviously going to remain at UConn, and that's to be expected. He's a Northeast guy. I've made a lot of calls on Billy Donovan's situation, some in the last hour. Billy is completely locked in on getting the Bulls in the playoffs. They play the Knicks tonight. And Billy also, because of his beliefs and his values as a person, does not feel comfortable with the timeline in terms of leaving a team after taking it through a season. Those are all four of the top candidates. So now we start going down the list. Baylor's Scott Drew is somebody that's going to be at the top of the list, but we have to remember Scott Drew has paid a nice, nice penny to be in Waco. Scott Drew built that program from scratch. I covered him in the NCAA tournament in the first and second rounds in Memphis. His family loves Waco. They're comfortable in Waco. He has a special relationship, though, with Kentucky AD Mitch Barnhart. He is going to be on the list. But if Scott Drew doesn't come to the forefront, where do you turn? I think a stealth candidate in this process, somebody that people may look as a safety candidate, could be BYU's Mark Pope, who, if you remember, Bill, was somebody who was a reserve on the 96 team under Rick Pitino that won the national championship. Mark Pope is somebody that Kentucky knows it can call and he will accept the job. You cut him open, he's going to bleed Kentucky blue. But that is, I think, where this thing is going to look if Scott Drew does not obviously opt to remain in Waco, if the Kentucky job officially comes open. But as I'm telling you right now, John Calipari has not tendered his resignation as of right now.
More drama to come. John, you are a good man on a busy morning for making time. I can't imagine how little sleep you got last night. Thank you for making us smarter. Thank you for making us better. Incredible work throughout the tournament for CBS. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show, my friend.
Thanks, Bill. Love the show. We sleep in May.
Thank you. There you go. That's right. John Rothstein on the program. Man, that's the other thing. Guys like John's lives get so much busier with transfer portal. I was going to ask him. I'll ask Tom, even though we've gone late. I was going to ask him, but I don't want to embarrass. Does he have a photographic memory?
Incredible scores of games from a decade ago?
It's pretty amazing. Bill, it reminds me of the time when I was 7 and I dropped one of my peas on the ground, and Don Smith, who was in my class, said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "It's Mark." I don't know, like, it's incredible.
We sleep in May.
He's not lying. That poor guy is probably has probably not slept since January. He might have had a 3-hour nap back in February, maybe. Really cool of John Rothstein, college basketball insider extraordinaire for CBS Sports, host of the College Hoops Today podcast on Twitter, John Rothstein. Very, very cool of him to make some time the day after the national championship game in which UConn dominated Purdue. Let's dominate the next 15 minutes. That's what D-Cell said. He sends me these notes. I'm going to dominate by yourself. It's okay, man. You're a producer. You can be a team player. Team player, pretty daddy. And buy or sell. Bunch of headlines and a take on each one next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Is it because I am smart? No. Is it because that makes me some kind of X's and O's wizard? Harry Potter basketball, I am not.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Abracadabra. Welcome back into the show. Those movies were not good. Read the books. You got kids, Tom.
I do.
Big Buzz Lightyear fan?
Big time.
Andy or Buzz? Are you a cowboy guy or to Infinity and Beyond guy?
Well, my little dude who's almost three, he has a lot of fun when he says yee-haw, so we're more in the cowboy stage right now.
Yee-haw.
He thinks it's hysterical.
He sounds hysterical. This portion of the show. Oh, actually, real quick. Henry now wants to go and fight with the teacher who took away his solar eclipse glasses.
I think he's got a case, man.
I don't think it's great that it happened. I just don't need Henry to come home with another think sheet where he has to think about something. All right, so let me tell you this. I thought my wife would get mad at me, so I didn't do it. Let me just tell the story again. Those of you who didn't hear this, my son went to school. My wife sent him with glasses to look at the solar eclipse. He was really into it. A teacher who's not his teacher, but whatever, basically confiscated them and wouldn't let him look at the sun. We did anything without glasses. Great. And gave him a think sheet because after Henry politely a couple times said, give him back, Henry said, I'm going to sue you. The think sheet is where you write what you did wrong. So I had to sign it, and there's a place for comments, and I almost wrote back, I would like you, Mrs. X, to also think about and respond to why you took my son's glasses. I almost made her do a think sheet. I feel like it wouldn't have helped the situation, though.
That would have went over really well.
By the way, there's a chance, I would say small, but 11% chance that someone from that school is listening. And if you are, do better. Actually, I love the principal, though. She's amazing. That's the other thing. I'm friends with the principal. She's great, but I don't want to get the teacher in trouble. I kind of do. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, let's start off. Hoopier than thou. Warriors-Lakers tonight at Crypto.com Arena. Bill, as it stands right now, L.A. is the 9 seed out west. Golden State is 10.
Talk to me about it.
Now, including tonight, the Lakers have 3 games remaining while the Warriors have 4. So I ask you, buy or sell the Lakers or Warriors being a different seed at the end of the season than they are right now?
Okay. It's a good question. And I have a question for you based on this game. I mean, the Lakers can. If the Lakers win tonight, there's a world where they can catch the Kings. I think the Kings have the tiebreaker, but I can't remember. I'll buy that there's an
buy
outside chance that the Lakers get to eight. Let me ask you a question. Well, let me ask you a few questions, and I'll lead into a buy or sell. Would you agree that the Lakers-Warriors game is a big game?
I would.
Yeah. Would you agree that you watch sports for a living?
I would.
And would you agree that we're friends and colleagues?
I would also agree with that. We're three for three.
Would you agree that friends and colleagues support each other?
I would.
Buy or sell, you're going to stay awake and watch my live CBS Sports HQ post-game hit off of Lakers-Warriors tonight.
Sell.
Come on, Tommy.
I knew where that question was going immediately.
In fairness, I'm going to overshare here for the audience, okay? Tom's in New York. I'm in L.A. Tom likes to sleep. I like to work. We have different priorities, okay? What?
I made it to the end of the game last night. That horrible, non-entertaining game.
I'm not mad at you. There are many times where some breaking news will happen at, you know, 6 my time, but Tom's asleep or whatever time it is. And then Tom will write back at the exact same time because he got to go to the bathroom. Tom pees like clockwork on weeknights. It is unbelievable. If I need to talk to Tom, I know what time. I'm pretty sure you're going to be walking to your bathroom when I'm on air. So buy or sell, maybe just do a multitask.
Buy.
All right.
I can't describe to you how much I hate when breaking news happens late at night. I hate it.
9 o'clock at night is not late at night.
That's very late
it's
at night.
It's not late at night.
That's very late. Like, I look at my phone, I see a text from you, and the pit in my stomach just sinks because I know what it is.
What I'm going to start doing is finding breaking news things from like a year ago and just sending them all the time to just throw you off.
You're a good friend.
Anthony Davis traded.
And then when I put it in the email the next morning, wait, what?
Amazing.
All right,
are we one question into this thing?
Yeah, we've only done one.
All right.
All right, Bill, speaking of the Warriors, Klay Thompson was a guest on Draymond Green's podcast, and he had this to say about Dre's tendency to get ejected from games.
When you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. And me and Steph are really nice guys, like probably too nice, you know? And we can never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. So when you're not out there, it's kind of like a huge kink in our armor. And I know the other team is very happy you're not out there. I just know that for a fact. They're like, they relax a little bit. They let their hair down. It does hurt. It can be disappointing in the moment, but it will never take away from what's ahead of us and what we've done.
Bill, buy or sell Klay's take on Draymond.
I mean, buy. And buy.
What
an impressive guy. And if you watch that whole interview, because Klay is a pretty quiet, chilled dude. The noisiest thing about Klay is when some paparazzi person would capture photos of him on a yacht with 17 models in the offseason. I mean, he's just super chill dude and really insightful, obviously introspective. And that's what it comes down to. They need not just Draymond Green, but Draymond Green to be Draymond Green for the Warriors to be the Warriors. The problem becomes that he has started to cross those lines that jeopardize not just his presence, but everything that makes Golden State Golden State. And I think it's a big question. How much can you rely on Draymond Green? We talk about the Warriors having a chance. They always have a chance because of Steph Curry, but really it's also because of Draymond Green. Steph Curry is a lock. Draymond Green is not. And I think in some ways that was a plea is the wrong word, but it was a message to Draymond Green, as politely said as possible, from one of his teammates who clearly loves the guy. Dude, stop. We need you out here.
All right, Bill, let's get to some baseball here. Your Chicago Cubbies. I got some good news. They jumped out to an 8-0 lead on the Padres yesterday in San Diego. That's great.
You're a jerk.
The bad news is they lost the game 9-8 as Fernando.
There is no good news when you blow an 8-run lead, Tom.
Well, they built an 8-run lead. That's good.
Tom.
All right, I'll just cut to the chase here.
It's not nice.
Buy or sell, the Cubs are responsible for more of your pain as a fan than your Chicago Bears.
So I'm going to sell that, and I'm going to tell you why your little barb doesn't hurt as much and why I'm maybe not a great fan, or maybe Cubs fans are the worst. I lived and died Chicago Cubs baseball for years. My granddad never got to see him win one. And when they won in 2016, and I was there because CBS let me cover it, and I got to bring family because Fox Sports, who I just left, very graciously, a guy named Jacob Ullman, who's a great guy, executive there, gave me tickets to every Cubs game, including the World Series, every game at Wrigley, not Cubs game. I got to bring family. When they won, and I covered it, I kept it together, and then I told this around the air, and I worked till 2 in the morning, I called my mom, I was pretty emotional, but I got to the Cleveland airport at 7 in the morning, on no sleep, just like John Rothstein is at right now, and I ordered a beer, and I started crying, and the waitress thought I was a weirdo, and I thought she was a weirdo for not knowing a World Series had just happened. Okay. I'm good now. Do I want more? Yes. But I knew in that moment that I had been fulfilled for my life as a Cubs fan. I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not spoiled, all right? I don't need 19 of them. I'll take it. But I'm actually never mad at the Cubs. I'm satisfied.
It doesn't mean I'm going to stop giving you those jabs, though.
I know, but it didn't hurt as much. It's just not nice. It's not nice, Tom.
All right, Bill, let's stay.
I never jab you on this show.
Never. Never. No. Not once.
Nope.
All right, Bill. Eli De La Cruz was at it again yesterday for the Cincinnati Reds. 3 hits, and he scored 4 runs in the win over Milwaukee, which included him hitting a 450-foot homer and an inside-the-park homer in back-to-back at-bats. Bill, buy or sell an inside-the-park home run is the most exciting play in baseball.
I was just thinking, I when I played baseball, I had some inside-the-park home runs and some real home runs. I'm going to sell it's the most exciting play in baseball.
Sell.
I'm going to buy that stealing home plate is the most exciting play in baseball.
Buy.
Can you name the character in one of the 4 greatest movies ever made who stole home plate and never left home without it?
Oh,
this is a test of your manhood.
This went in a different direction than I thought.
This is a test of your manhood.
See, this is there's not a huge age gap between us, but I thought
you were going
Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Yeah, you're going Major League, and I can't think of his name off. I can't remember his name.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Thank you.
What a can you just push the sell button and people can ascribe to that whatever they want. You're the one that told me off the air and on the air. You watch it.
I've seen both of them. The third one stinks. Back to the Minors. That one stinks.
I haven't even seen the second one.
The second one's good.
I don't want to even get close to the third one. I just want the first one
that one
to live on. By the way, that is a timeless film that we watch every year, my wife and I.
I really thought you were going Sandlot there.
There's some swearsies in there, though.
There's a lot of swearsies in there.
Buy or sell that you could make... Boy, this is such bad radio. If we did calls, I won't. But buy or sell, you can make a case Major League is the best baseball movie of all time.
Sell.
Oh, come on. A case? Bull Durham is everyone's answer. It's the wrong answer. The Natural, Field of Dreams, Sandlot. There's 5 in the mix.
I'm okay. Sandlot doesn't have to be number one, but it's got to be in the mix.
When I started in radio, so people that are listening, it is objectively believed that doing calling with your favorite sports movie is the worst radio you can do. And when I was like new to radio and did weekends, and I had some co-hosts. I won't say his name. He was great. And we started the show. And he's like, let's. And he did it, and the phones lit up. And I didn't know what. I was like, wow, that's a lot of phone calls. And we did an entire 4 hours of people call. And I have never had my ass chewed like I did on that following Monday by that program director. And I go, I've been on the air for 4 days. I didn't know. He's like, oh, that's true. Don't ever do that.
Perfect.
So lazy.
Perfect. I didn't even know we were on the air.
I didn't even know his microphone was on. People could hear me.
All right, Bill, let's stay in baseball here. Juan Soto was off to a red-hot start for the New York Yankees, hitting .357, 2 homers, and 10 RBIs. Yes, I went RBIs in 11 games. Now the 25-year-old, it's RBIs. It has
to
be
done. No, it's fine. You're right. No, you did it right. I'm sorry.
Bill, the 25-year-old who was traded to the Bronx this offseason is making $31 million this year. but will be a free agent come the end of the season. Buy or sell, if Juan Soto has an MVP caliber year, he's more likely to leave the Yankees in free agency.
Sell. Let me ask you the bigger Juan Soto question. First of all, did you see Juan Soto sign the autograph right before first pitch?
I did, and I don't know why everyone's right, loving that.
Hold on. Buy or sell, you think that was a good thing?
Sell.
I got mixed feelings.
Yeah, like it makes everyone feel all warm and fuzzy, but pay attention to the game.
It would have been amazing, because he turned his back. It would have been amazing if somebody had ripped a ball right at him.
And then the next pitch he was barely ready for, yeah, which was a foul yeah. ball.
Yeah. But also super cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for that fan.
It is really cool for that fan.
All right, Bill, let's finish up here. Last one, some NFL. We usually start with the NFL, but we're going to finish with the NFL.
Oh, wow.
See? I can change.
You're a changer. You're evolution incarnate.
All right, Bill, after 35 catches and under 600 yards receiving with just 3 touchdowns, Odell Beckham Jr. is once again a free agent after just one season in Baltimore, and the Miami Dolphins have shown interest in OBJ, but reportedly have not made him an offer just yet. As you know, the Dolphins already have a wide receiver room of Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Buy or sell, the Dolphins should be interested in OBJ.
I'll buy if
buy.
You approach it with the way that Andy Reid has done this, which is bring him in, hope that it's lightning in a bottle. As a third option, there's a lot of upside, and be utterly willing to move on from the guy if it doesn't work out on the field or it doesn't work out in the locker room.
Sure.
Yeah. You feel good? You feel good about buy or sell?
I feel okay.
Buy or sell, you feel good about buy or sell?
Buy.
All right. Let me read your email. Hey, loser. This is from Tom to me this morning. Give me my shine in that segment or else. Did you feel like you got your shine?
I did. And you'll notice in the email today, I went all caps with that.
Yeah, you did. You'll notice that I forwarded it to HR. So it was great working with you.
I haven't looked at my inbox since.
It was great working with you, pal. Let's close out with a little Scott Drew and Kentucky talk after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. How you doing, pretty daddy?
Doing all right.
You hanging in there?
Barely.
Do you go back and talk to your wife about your day?
Nope. I don't answer any questions about my day.
You must be easy to be married to.
Yep. I'm a delight.
Oh, that's funny. You could be the defensive player of the week. How's your day?
None of your business. It really goes like that. I told you not to ask me about my day.
What are you, Al Pacino? Are you the Godfather? I told you never ask me about my business, Mrs. D-Cell. This one time you can ask me my business. How was your day? It was fine. That's how that goes?
Pretty much.
You've seen The Godfather, I assume.
Yes, I've seen The Godfather.
You know who
I just don't
Michael Corleone is.
I just don't memorize movies like a lot of you people. Like I don't
Michael
I,
Corleone.
Yes.
You know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay. Don Corleone. Luca Brasi.
If you're going to give me a quiz on it, I'm going to fail it.
The defensive player of the week is not Tom, but the defensive player of the week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Victor Wembanyama had 7 blocks on Sunday against the Sixers, and the 20-year-old has 19 blocks in his last 3 games. It's over 6 blocks per game. That is bonkers. That is insanity in its excellence. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Let me ask you a question. By the way, my wife's sister and her husband are in the Navy and use the Navy Federal Credit Union. And so I love doing that read because it's in the family. If I were in every read to make it something, if I made you the Defensive Player of the Week, would we get in trouble?
No, I don't think we would.
Okay. If I just really went to a silly place.
I think we'd be all right.
So, John Rothstein really broke down for us why many of the top candidates that would go to Kentucky are not going to. And he noted that, Dan Hurley had said, I'm not interested. And Jay Wright, who's doing television, said, I'm happy. Now, you never know when somebody drops a bag of money in front of you. And I believe Hurley. I don't know Jay Wright, so I'm sure he's telling the truth. But, if he got the itch again. But of the candidates that are out there, the betting favorite, he's 1-1, is Scott Drew. So what I'm telling you is not revelatory. It's not like this amazing guess out of nowhere. But he is he's the betting favorite. What are you laughing at? He's – what's up? Scott Drew is a great coach and a great guy. And I think one of the things about Drew that doesn't get appreciated the way that it should, because they've won a national championship there and they've had a lot of success. Baylor was a disaster zone of a program. And he didn't just build it from scratch. Remember, he inherited a program that was stained by a terrible, terrible situation, which one player killed another player and a former coach in order to not get in trouble, allegedly, and I don't even know if I need the allegedly, painted one of the victim as a not. It was, I don't even want to talk about it. It was ugly. But what Scott Drew created from scratch is pretty amazing. And Scott's a pretty, welcoming guy, and nobody really wanted to write about Baylor back in the day. So in my traveling writing days, I've been to Baylor many times to write about that program, been in Waco for a week, been around Scott, been around the program. He's also a great dude. He would be successful at Kentucky if they gave him time, and that's the ultimate thing, right? How much time do you actually get? But I think for me, if they're, and not just me, it's he is the betting favorite, but it makes sense that that's who Kentucky would target. He is a fairly young dude. He is a coach's son. He has won a national championship. He's built a program from scratch. So if he leaves, I think he could do it with a sense of fulfillment. As John noted to us, he has a relationship with the AD, which is always important because that level of trust is so critical in those jobs, especially in an NIL transfer portal world where you feel like you don't get a lot of time or you can potentially not get a lot of time. That would be the person I would hire. The issue becomes, and John Rothstein also noted this, Scott Drew makes good money already. There is money in Texas. There is booster money coming out of Baylor. If you're Scott Drew or you're Dan Hurley or you're any of these folks who have built or, in Hurley's case, continued a level of real excellence and you have your program basically humming in this era where it's difficult, why leave? It used to be that you had to go to Kentucky to reach the heights of Kentucky. Part of the reason Cal is probably going to leave is because that's no longer true. And by the way, Cal, should we play this? Do we have time? You know what? I'm not going to play it. You're just going to have to go and find it. Tom said no. Tom shook it. He didn't say no. He said barely. But I also like, it's better to watch. Go find this because Calipari was walking his dog yesterday, and somebody tried to basically ask him if he was leaving. He said, I'm walking my dog, but he had a baby stroller, which makes me so mad because when I'm here in Manhattan Beach in California, I'll see strollers and I'll smile at the person and look at the baby. Because I want to, oh, that's cute. My kids used to be that young. And without fail, if there's a baby in that stroller, the person smiles back. If there's a dog in that thing, the person glares at me. Hey, dog dad, you're not a dad. Not that I'm saying that to Cal, but it was a little weird, Tom. I think the dog was walking next to him, but he was pushing a dog stroller. Really? That's enough. On Kentucky, he's out. You dog stroller, you're out. Not sure that'll fly in Arkansas either. Fun show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Me and the husband of the year will be back tomorrow hanging out here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.